Okay, now that Brian's back here, I'm going to call this meeting to order. So this is our June monthly meeting of the Nashua Airport Authority. It is just a little bit past 6 p.m. Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Sure. Good evening, everybody. Welcome and roll call. Chairman Woods?
Here.
Vice Chairman Law?
Here.
Secretary Heath?
Here.
Director Duquette?
Here.
Director Holland?
Here.
Very good. All present.
Hey, Graham Smith just joined us.
Okay. Roll call is finished. Now I'm going to ask for public input. So this pertains to agenda items for this evening. And if folks go down to the little participants thing at the bottom, you can get a list of the participants, but you can also see down in the bottom right corner is a thing that says raise hand. So I had asked that you please use that, and we'll call on you. As if I can. Okay, I don't see anybody's hand raised. If that is incorrect, please speak up. Okay.
I know how to do it electronically, but I'll just say hi. I'm Bob Fury from Boyle Tanner, and just interested to see how the airport's doing. So thank you for putting the invitation.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Okay, so minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of March 18, 2020.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Okay, David has made a motion to accept the minutes of March 18, 2020. Does anybody second?
I'll second.
Okay, Joe seconded the motion.
I'll take myself off mute. Sorry about that.
Okay, and I guess we'll do a roll call for, instead of a free-for-all, we can't see each other that well. We'll do the roll call for the approval. Chris, do you want to do the honors again?
Sure. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Heath?
Yep. Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Director Holland?
Yes.
Okay. The minutes of the March 18 meeting are approved. Treasurer's report. Approval of the May 2020. Whoa, hello. Let's see. Approval of the May 2020 financial statements subject to audit.
Oh, you want me to not scroll when you're in the middle of talking about it?
Actually, I got my own agenda page up here, so.
Okay, I was just going down. Just
to go ahead and scroll, please.
Okay. Is this me?
You're on.
I'm on. Okay, so the financial statements, this is for May, and from the looks of it, and Susan, correct me on this, but all the projects are closed out, correct?
The projects?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're basically, there's no open projects. Anything does not, I see some retainage is still hanging out there. That's going to be paid out pretty soon.
That will go away when the auditors come in.
Okay.
They take care of all that part of it. So that will remain there until the auditors take it off.
All right. But the bottom line is that the projects have been closed out, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Dave, can I chime in for a second?
Yep.
I think you have the May financials up.
Yes.
We should be doing the April.
I thought
we can do the May.
I thought Farrell talked about the May ones.
All right. I'm sorry. I was just reading what was on the agenda.
Yeah. Approval of May statements. That's the agenda, right?
Yes. That's what I have on the agenda. We can address May if that's part of the package here. We can address April if that's part of the package too.
Thought they were going to do the.
I guess they're not.
Do we have April?
They don't need. All right, never mind. All right.
Not going to worry about it. Yeah.
Okay.
I had both packages in front of me. Sorry, Dave.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so I'm trying to make you dizzy, but so the even though the retainage payable is still showing here, everybody's been paid, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the next project, we'll talk about it later, is then we're going to start funding it at some point, hopefully. All right. So the bottom line here is that the balance sheet is still pretty solid. We have $600,000 in cash, and it looks like we own it because, again, everything has been paid out. We do have $60,000 or $75,000 liabilities. But we're pretty solvent. I'm seeing a disturbing $700,000 negative in retained earnings. However, I'm not quite sure where that's coming from. But I'm assuming that's some sort of a prior year adjustment thing that we're gonna get fixed.
Yes.
Okay. So under the budget part, let me see if I can find this. It's pretty small, but it's the best we got. Amazingly, through May, through 11 months, that's a comparison to last May. Hold on, guys. There we go. Oh, good. So everybody has to look sideways. Let me see if I can fix that. There's a little flipper here somewhere. Stand by.
If you do Control Shift plus or minus, Dave, you should be able to rotate the PDF.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So that is. Okay, so basically, it looks like for the 11 months, we're only short about $2,000 in revenue, which is pretty amazing considering nobody's been flying. The land lease gets paid no matter who flies, the tie downs get paid, so really the only shortfall is in the fuel flow, which is expected.
Dave, do these numbers include the CARES Act money?
I don't see them anywhere, at least from a revenue perspective.
Chris or Susan, do you know where that might be?
Not in there yet, Joe. Okay.
They do not.
We have not received any yet.
What is it we're supposed to receive?
We are looking at receiving approximately $69,000 in the CARES Act grant, which we'll discuss later on in the meeting.
Okay. So basically, through 11 months of through May, we're in good shape.
David,
I see there's the other thing I wanted to just go back and look at here for a second. Hang on, sorry. Oh, shift. There is a deferred revenue, and I think that has to do with the tie down. Correct, Susan?
Go back to the balance sheet.
Yeah, right here where it says, well, hold on. This is the balance sheet.
Even I'm on my phone. I can't see that.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I have it up.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong place.
Want my paper copy, Susan?
The deferred inflows for the GASB 68.
Yeah, that has to do with the pension plan.
Right.
Right. That's the year-end accounting entry that gets made.
Yes.
So it's not anything to do with the tie-downs. Yeah.
No.
So GASB 68 is a close cousin to the GASB 75.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the pension for the city. So...
That is.
Yeah. So that's all that long-term liability stuff has to do with pension, the OPEB that the city provides, the pension and retirement plans for the airport. And I don't, even though I used to be in the business, I don't pretend to know exactly how that all works.
The new one's coming out for the GASB 87 also. That's going to be affecting financials of fiscal year 2021, I believe.
Right. But basically, the way I look at this stuff, whereas the long-term liabilities, the pension liability, deferred inflows, by the way, that all matches up. That deferred inflow is a match on the flip side of the asset side to the, if you look up here. So these two things are kind of related. But at the end of the deferred pension liability is simply something, it's the end of the world approach. If we were to liquidate, we would have to satisfy that liability somehow. That's why that's on the books. So it doesn't necessarily affect our current operations, but it affects our ability to, everybody, you know, if we had to, which we don't, it's just an actuarial calculation. If everybody all of a sudden collected all that $300,000, because we have a $600,000 on the books, we could still pay it. So we're still liquid enough to pay it.
Yeah, and that number is down $51,000 from last year on the liability side. So
okay. That's probably because we've made payments on it. Because there is a requirement. There's a funded liability and an unfunded liability. So,
Michael, does that answer your question? Thank you.
Right, I'm just trying to see if there's anybody else waiting to come in here. Oh, yes, there is a Mark Schwartzberg who wants to come in. Okay. So, okay, Mark. I'm not quite sure. Hey, Mark, you just joined us?
I did.
Hey, Mark, I apologize, but what? Where'd you go? Oh, great. Where'd Mark go?
I'm still here. Can you hear
me? Okay, Mark, I'm sorry. What is your interest in the airport?
Oh, I'm flying. I'm flying out of Nashua.
Oh, you are. Okay, sorry.
That's okay. I'm relatively new to
it. We're getting new people here with this new method. Thank you. All right. So I guess at the end of the day, the summary of the financials are that we're through 11 months. And we're still pretty solvent, and we're still, in spite of things, pretty close to budget. So, anybody have any questions? I'm just going to go try to find this budget thing again. And the expenses are right, pretty much in balance. So
yeah, so I would say, I mean, to be, you know, have the net income we've had, and the, this is Brian Law, the and to be ahead of the budget the way we are, I think that's all positive. And barring any other questions, I would move to accept the treasurer's report as submitted.
Hey, anyone would like to second that?
Oh, I'll second that.
Okay.
I can second my number.
Any further discussion before we vote?
I think is technically the motion just have to have pending audit at the end of it, just for the technicality.
Pending audit, deal.
Okay.
Works for me.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the 2020 financial statement subject to audit. That motion's been seconded. Chris, call the roll, please.
Okay, roll call. Chairman Woods?
Yay.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yay.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Duquette?
Yay.
Director Holland?
Yay.
Okay, motion carries unanimously. Thank you. So next up, Dave, looks like you again. Approval of the fiscal year 2021 budget.
Really? Okay.
Are you not ready to talk about that yet?
Hold on, I gotta find it. Where'd it go? Okay. This must be it right here. Okay, so this budget includes, and Susan, this is the budget, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the 2021 budget is on the far right-hand column here. Everybody can see it. And we've got a significant amount of, a significant increase in revenue. And it looks like it's coming from the land lease, which I'm assuming has to do with the Daniel Webster College building?
Yes.
Okay. So that starts in August 1st of this year. So that's the majority of the swing between 350 and 413. I'm a little curious. I thought that the base rent for the Aviation Center was only about 35,000. Why is that going up to 413? Is that other escalations in there?
Looking it up right now, Dave. Stand by.
We lose Susan?
Yeah, she's coming into my office.
Because my phone, okay.
Phone died.
What was this question again?
Yeah, you got to charge the rent.
You want to say that again, Dave? You believe the base rent was about 35,000?
That was again. I'm going by memory here, so.
For the aviation center.
I think it's 4,000.
Say again?
4,000.
4,000 per month.
So that's 48. So is it the other, is the remaining difference, there's other escalations going on? Is this the year, although I know they're all staggered, but the leases are mostly every 2 years they have the cost of living increase.
Carol, do you have the book, the lease book?
Yeah, I have the book. It'll take me a moment to retrieve it.
Okay. While you're doing that, the tie-down income is down. Kind of curious about that. Have we increased the tie-down rental starting in, can we do that as of January, or is that a July thing?
No, it's a July that it begins.
Yeah, and it went down because we're so low now. As of April 30th, we were 17.
Oh, I see.
Approximately $17,000 below budget.
Okay, all right. So basically that's, so really the 72 was a, didn't happen.
That's correct.
Okay. So with 2 months to go, the 54,000. Okay, so all right. So that, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, so I did take an account of the new rates because I did figure that in the amount of aircraft that we currently have.
Because that's pretty predictable.
Mm-hmm, sure is.
Okay. Okay, registration fees.
Okay, interesting.
Talk to me about that, Chris or Susan. Why the big decrease?
Last year, it's kind of, I'm not sure how this is going to work. Last year, we only got $5,000 in registration fees. We thought it was an error on the side of the DOT because we had expected it to be more.
with the new registration fees layout, I'm not sure what to expect on a kind of on a yearly basis.
Susan, we've according to this, we've already received 37,000 through April.
Right. But we were expecting that last year.
But we actually got it.
5,000. This year we got 37,000.
So
I don't know how to figure that. I honestly do not know how to figure that out.
Okay, so what you're telling me is the 5,000 that we're projecting that for this year's budget could be very low.
Yes.
And like she said, Dave, we based it on what we actually received last year, and there was quite a bit of confusion, and we had gone back and forth with New Hampshire DOT.
Babel was part of this too.
Yeah, requesting clarification as to why it had dropped significantly from the year before.
And then this year, all of a sudden, we got 37,000.
Well, maybe we woke them up.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure how that all happened.
All right, so.
So I feel a safe bet is it's going to be right around 5,000.
But why wouldn't the safe bet be what we got the prior year?
Because I think, I don't know if there was an error on the DOT side.
Okay. Okay.
And they were making up for it for the year before, because the year before the old registration fees were in effect.
Right.
Not the new ones. And we had newer aircraft.
But again, this is another one of those things that it should be pretty predictable.
It should be. It wasn't adding up last year, and that's why we debated it with them. And like Susan says, we at this point believe it's a makeup payment, but not sure.
And I couldn't make enough sense of the numbers that DOT was giving me a year or so ago, and I even asked for some of the spreadsheet calculations themselves, the formulae.
Yeah, I remember you went through a lot of iterations there, trying to tie, their receipts out to 25%, and then get what we're supposed to get.
Yeah, I was never entirely successful at determining how they arrived at some of their numbers.
This should be very predictable. This shouldn't be a moving target.
By the way, I
don't want to dwell on it, but I think we. How, there's got to be somebody up there that knows what the heck they're doing on these numbers, and give us some clarity.
Yeah, we're not going to solve that problem tonight.
I mean, there's 200 or 300 planes, whatever it is, based here, times 1,000 or 100 bucks a piece, or and plus the larger ones and the more expensive ones. And it's like times 25%. That's the number.
Yeah, Dave, I agree with you. But we're not going to second guess. We're not going to successfully second guess what DOT we're doing this evening.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's fine. We'll keep going on this, but I think we have to get a better handle on it at some point.
Hey, Dave, this is Joe. I think it sounded like it's on Chris's and Sue's to-do list.
Okay.
They're as curious as everybody else. So I'm sure they've got on their short list of things to figure out.
Okay. All right. So then now we're go down to the expenses. And the again, the wages are pretty predictable. It looks like there's some increases.
It's a 12% increase. I don't know if it's.
Yeah, I know that. There were some mid-year, the anniversary date of people is kind of mid-year.
Right.
Okay. So there were some increases there. But overtime's not in here. All right, well, we can go back to. I'm just wondering why there is a 30,000, it's almost 12% increase. When the increases, the individual increases haven't been 12%.
So, Dave, I have a number for you on the rent.
On what rent?
Wasn't there a question about the land lease income?
Oh, Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, what I'm reading here, it says, for the first lease year of this lease, beginning on the commencement date and ending 1 year thereafter, the sum of $54,784 in 12 equal monthly installments of $4,565 each, beginning a rounded rate of $1.37 per square foot over 39,988 square foot lot.
Okay. Base rent. All right, good. All right. Thanks for clarifying that. I'm not surprised that my memory didn't work. So back down on the wages. We haven't added anybody, correct?
Dave, no, we have not, and those numbers are correct across the board. Okay. You know, the wages were discussed in non-public session.
Right. Okay.
And there were, you know, a couple of employees that received substantial increases in pay due to the fact that we all thought that they were grossly underpaid at that
point. Okay. Yeah, I know there was some catch up. All right. Right. We can cover that. All the other stuff, the payroll taxes, whatnot, are pretty straightforward.
Dave?
Yes.
What number do you have the benefits, the health, dental, and life?
Yeah.
Did you want to say 72,000?
It says 65,000 for the budget.
Then that's right. It's 65,000 because it did go down.
Wow.
We're expecting an 18% or 13% increase on that this year. But when we got our rates from the city just last week or at the beginning of June, they actually, the deductibles have changed on two of the employees' insurances. They went from like $250 to $1,500. So it decreased the overall premium.
Wow.
So we went down. So that premium this year is going to be 65 rather than going up.
Great.
Okay. That's always the good news.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other those stuff is basically utilities, electricity, heating. That's pretty straightforward. Electricity, it looks like it's a little over the trend line, but you're going up by $2,000 for the year, but yet with 2 months to go, you still got about $3,000 a month to spend. That should work out all right.
Yeah, better to be conservative, I guess.
Yeah. Looks like you're going to be doing some serious vehicle repairs.
Say that again, Dave, vehicle repairs?
Yeah, looks like there's some repairs and maintenance is going from $20,000.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff that's been deferred. And for instance, we need to put a new body on one of the pickup trucks. That's going to be $3,300 in that one piece because the body is essentially rotted off the truck. So we have a lot of things like that.
Okay.
Nice support doing that.
Okay. Building and grounds maintenance has doubled.
There's a lot of deferred maintenance going on. We also had a lot of electrical strikes in the last year.
Right.
Still trying to repair all the things that were damaged from the lightning storms.
Yeah, I like being conservative on that, so we go ahead and make those repairs when we need to and not be worried that we don't have the money in the budget.
Right. Ron Fisher has just joined us.
And there was another thing too, Brian. We were trying to get some paint on the Airport Authority building this year as well. And it seems to be flaking off on all sides at this point. And that's going to be a substantial cost to us.
Yes. So, but I agree, staying ahead of that pays dividends in the long run.
So it looks like we've got a little bit of a surplus here. We got 617,000 of revenue and 610,000 expenses. So, and it looks like the expenses are pretty, overall, pretty reasonable. And the revenue is pretty reasonable. Hopefully, if we can get our arms around that New Hampshire registration fees, it can only go up. So that's a good thing.
Try to run a tight ship, Dave.
Nope, that's good. So, anybody have any questions about this? So anybody have any questions?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. So, then having no other questions, I'd like to make a motion to accept the 2021 budget as presented.
Second.
Who was that?
This is Joe. Second.
Okay.
Okay. And we discussed that, you know, quite a bit a moment ago. So, you know, I'll ask again for a roll call vote. Chris?
Hey, Chairman Woods.
Yay.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Secretary Duquette.
Yay.
Director Holland.
Yay.
Hey, motion carries. You know, the FY 2021 budget is approved. Thank you. That brings us to communications. And what's on the agenda there is a US EPA preliminary assessment report. Chris, I remember you told me about the EPA's visit. Could you address that briefly, please?
Sure, I can brief you on that a little bit. The EPA has been tasked, along with New Hampshire Department, the NHDES Department of Environmental Services, and an engineering firm known as Western Solutions, to investigate PFAS contamination at various airports in the state of New Hampshire. They've already done Pease in Manchester, I believe. And so now they've come to Nashua and they've started their investigation. They essentially did a cursory overview of the property. I spent the day with them and we walked the whole property. They told me what they're doing. They looked at the outflows from the stormwater system. And their next move is they're going to come in and they're going to be taking samples. And as part of that, they're going to be boring test wells. So we're going to have a number of test wells around the property searching for PFAS. Now, just so everybody doesn't get all worked up over it, we've had one instance that we know of where they discharged the PFAS chemical, which, for those who don't know, polyfluoroalkyl and perpolyfluoroalkyl substances are found in this firefighting foam that they use to fight fires at airports. And there was an incident approximately 10 years ago in Infinity's hangar where they had to go in and discharge the foam. Other than that, we've had no discharge of it anywhere on the airport that we know of. So take that for what it's worth. They were actually very nice about the whole thing. Obviously, we're cooperating with them, giving them all the information we can. And the test wells and the next testing phases will start, I believe, next month in July.
For those who are having trouble sleeping, this report is in here. It's about 80 pages, I think.
It's really not that bad, Dave.
Oh, yeah. So this is the whole report. It's in there's nice pictures.
And this was just a preliminary, you know, as they basically did the site walk to learn the lay of the land. We talked about how the storm water flows around here. It was actually a little confusion when they came in because their biggest concern is the Penichuk water ponds,
yep,
which are actually to our north and northwest. And yep, all of our stormwater drains the polar opposite direction of that.
That's up in this area.
Right. It goes in a spectacle pond, both of our major outflows. And Nick, if I'm incorrect, please correct me, but That's where most of it goes. When it's not overflowing and it goes into Brian Law's property. Right, Brian?
Yeah.
So.
Thankfully, that hasn't happened for a long time.
All of our surface storm water is going the opposite direction of where their concerns were. Now, with that being said, there is groundwater flow that they believe does flow in that direction. And I don't recall the depth of that. Nick Ippolito, do you happen to know what that would be? Is it around 11 feet below ground? Or?
Depends on where you are on the airfield. Down on the 3-2 end, it's 20 feet plus, but it comes higher as you get down to the 1-4 end. And I believe that that boundary of the protected aquifer sort of runs through that localizer, or I'm sorry, the glide slope antenna array, and then heads off to the northwest, like you said.
So I think we're, being optimistic, obviously, and hopeful that the PFAS that was discharged within the hangar never made it to groundwater. If it wasn't all contained, the only place it would have gone would have been into stormwater, through the stormwater drain system itself. So I'm pretty confident that it never made it to groundwater, so it couldn't have gone towards the Benachuk ponds. But we will see. This is why they're coming here to test it. As we sat in my office for probably 3 hours before we went out in the field, I essentially, half joking around, are we in trouble? And essentially it's more of a guidance and what do we do moving forward to prevent these things from getting into the water systems. That's what I can tell you about it for now.
Okay.
Chris, this is Jessica. I have a question. When they drill those little test wells, is that expected to impact any operations, or is that going to be completely outside of the surface moving areas?
Yeah, it won't affect any operations. We don't know the exact locations. They're not random locations, but I believe a lot of them are near outflows and things like that. But no, they've told me that we'll have no impact on operations. There'll be nothing on the runways or taxiways. And I believe most of them won't even be bored. They won't be boring into any pavement either, unless it's between a hangar or something like that. But I don't believe they're affecting any taxiways or anything.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other communications? Farrell, somehow you got...
Yep, no, that's okay. So that's all for communications. And now we move on to the tower report. So as you might imagine, traffic counts have been off a little bit. And let me get that back on my screen here. So let's see. We don't have data for May in here. I'm sorry, we do have data for May. I take that back.
Yeah,
thanks. So in 2019, in May of 2019, we had 6,302 movements. And May of this year, we have 5,065, which is down a fair bit. But we took a real beating in April. We went from, in April 2019, we went from 5,115 movements to April 2020 to 2,909. So that was down 46% in April. For a month to month, for a previous month change. But I think the traffic counts are starting to tick back up. So. Yeah.
And folks, I think all of you may know this, but I just want to make sure it's in the record that the Southern New Hampshire University has decided to terminate their flight program. the flight program, not to say the aeronautics, but the flight program. They have approximately, I think they're around 30 students that they're going to teach out. They're going to finish up over the next couple of years. So there still will be, once the COVID-19 restrictions and concerns abate, those students should start flying again here. And you'll see those in the tower report at some point in time. But probably, besides the COVID impact, I think you're going to see some further impact because of Southern Hampshire University not adding any more flight students.
Sure. So I noticed today when I was at the airport,